named it the hard line.
Reiner.
Yeah.
You named it the hard line.
Yeah. I stole that.
Where'd you steal it from?
A Terrence Trent D'Arby album. Remember him?
Yes. Wishing Well?
Yes. Yeah. That song was off an album called The Hard Line, according to Terrence Trent D'Arby.
That's right.
And that's where we stole that.
Well, so why didn't you steal it from a Michael Bolton album or a George Michael album? Why Terrence Trent D'Arby?
Well, we wanted to name it Faith.
Yeah.
This is Gordon Keith. On January 24th, 1994, The Little Ticket was born. It was a messy breech birth, but a successful one. Soon, KTCK, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, was taking its first baby steps, and everyone was watching and listening. The one program which immediately ran ahead of the pack was The Hard Line with Mike Reiner and Greg Williams. These two individuals won listeners over by bucking all conventional radio wisdom, thumbing their noses at authority, and defying the instructions of local radio's Dr. Spock, a.k.a. Barry Horn. They did it their way, and it paid off. The following is a collection of the moments that stand out as defining moments in the growing personality of the Hardline. They are memorable recollections that emerge through interviews with the masters of hardness themselves. With the help of Miller Lite, we present the highlights from the first couple of years of the Hardline. Two guys who have risen from the ranks of total obscurity to the level most dream of being a household name.
Sir, do you know what the Hardline is?
What the Hardline is?
No. Ma'am, what is the Hardline?
I have no idea.
What's the Hardline?
I really don't know. Is it some kind of a sports show you wash on the ticket?
No, to see, you read my shirt, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
The Powers of Deductive Reasoning. Yes, it's a radio show. You ever listen to it?
No, quite honestly, I don't. I usually, what I do is teach, and I usually don't have much time to do that. I watch the news at home, and of course, the Ranger.
Yes, sir, what's the hard line?
Let's see.
What? Quickly, three, two, one.
Hardline is the,
Is the what? Three, two, one. Come on, quickly. I need answers, man.
The interstate?
The interstate business line? I'm sorry, you just lost a chance at winning a complete Nintendo system. Good try, though. What is the Hardline?
The Hardline? I'm not sure. Meaning what?
I'm feeling generous, so I'm going to give you three guesses. What is the Hardline? Come on, quickly. Three. You get three guesses. Guess. Go.
K-104?
K-104? No. Guess again. What's the Hardline?
100.3?
100.3? No. Good guess. What is the Hardline?
A piece of fruit.
Sir, what is the Hardline?
At first, it was a program that made me laugh and made me cry, but now it's just kind of turned into a stale 11-2, duly noted type of carnival that you might find in maybe Abilene or Alpine if you go out there and listen to a radio show out there.
It's great fun. Every single day, Grego and I go on the air. We act like a couple of guys and have great fun. It's the best job I've ever had.
Well, what would you say is the worst job that you've ever had?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I've had bad jobs. Nothing worth talking about.
Handsome Hunk Phone Sex Services, may I help you?
Yes, do you have a burly hunk of pure man available? Because I'm in the mood for love.
Hold, please. I'll transfer you.
Mike Reiner.
Hi, Mike. My name is Barbara. What's yours?
I just said it was Mike Reiner. Now, if we're going to do this thing, you got to pay attention.
I'm sorry, Michael. What are you wearing right now?
First of all, 86 any and all Michaels, Mikeys, Mikey Babies, and especially Michelles. I will not pretend to be a woman, nor will I tolerate someone who would request such a thing. My preference is to be called Rhines, and that and only that is what you will call me. Second of all, any further references, intentional or otherwise, to some sexual act or acts that I deem offensive or somewhat socially unacceptable will place you in the large category of women I have hung up on. Lastly, and certainly not least, I not only think about baseball during the real act of lovemaking, but also during these fictionalized episodes that occur via the miracle of the Maubel handheld receiver. So, if I, for whatever reason, make reference to the great game or persons who have played the great game, most notably the great Ted Williams, you will patiently endure my diatribe or you will get hung up on. Now, having said that, are you, Barbara, ready to proceed?
I guess so.
Well, let's mosh, man.
Okay, what are you wearing right now?
Well, now, before I answer that and before we go any further, I have to know something. You're not fat, are you? Because if you're fat, I don't know if I can go through with this thing.
I'm not fat.
Okay, proceed.
I still want to know what you're wearing.
I am no doubt decked out in the finest of suggestive undergarments crafted by Hager, Hanes, and other various sundry clothing manufacturers. I am reclining comfortably on a divan in a lascivious pose guaranteed to produce arousal in the most reserved of frigid females. My maleness is postured in a patriotic fashion, and I am prepared to spread my own unique brand of libertine edification over your every hill and dale for the next few minutes or less, depending on whether you get hung up on.
What's your specialty, Rhines?
Well, my particular phone specialty is something called the two-minute drill, but I haven't perfected it yet and quite honestly don't have the desire to patiently test it out on you.
Well, then I guess I'll try and get the ball rolling here. I'm 5'8", strawberry blonde hair, 22 years old, 110 pounds, and I attend a small Midwestern college where I major in political science and wild sex.
I just ain't buying any of this.
It's true, I swear.
Okay, all right, duly noted.
Ooh, a school teacher's bell rhymes. You're kinkier than you let on.
Yeah, I kind of am.
Let's say I'm a bad schoolgirl and you're an over-authoritative teacher.
Hey, Barbara, or whatever the hell your name is, just how far do you want me to go in this little scenario you got going here?
At least to first base.
Let me tell you about first base, sister. There was no one who could cover first base like the great Norm Cash of the Detroit Tigers.
Rhymes.
Completing the lineup, you had Dick McAuliffe at second base, Ray Oiler at shortstop. Rhymes. Move over to third, there was Don Wirt. Out in left field, the great Willie Rhymes. Horton, Mickey Stanley.
Rhymes.
Playing shortstop in the World Series, but center field in the regular season.
Rhymes.
Jim Northrop in right field. Behind the plate, you had the
Rhymes.
Great Bill Friend. What?
Can we get back to the fantasy?
Listen, you lying, overweight, black-haired, gelatinous cow. I'm talking greatness here, the kind of greatness you'll never know except in gene size, porker. I'm talking baseball. And I don't need some carbuncle-faced 37-year-old sexual miscreant who, by dint of promiscuity and general looseness and moral fiber, probably got pregnant at 18... by some relative, no doubt, and who now only finds time to lambast the great game on a money-costing, monetarily draining phone sex service which normally wouldn't let a mattress back like you through the front...
You know, everybody else blames everything on their upbringing, so do I. I grew up in Boyd. People in Boyd don't talk good. So I hadn't been able to, you know...
All right, Rhines, what have been some of your favorite of Grego's malapropisms?
Oh, epitome was a great one.
Epitome, of course, he was trying to say...
epitome.
And he was reading.
Mm-hmm. The day he called the NCAA the NAACP, that was great. The thing that really made that great is that the next caller happened to be Herman.
I thought you could only play 12 at the max.
Well, I mean, it all depends. I mean, it all depends. You know, if the weasels at the NAACP think that NAACP, that's about the same thing.
At
the NCAA, if they think they can, you know, squeeze an extra nickel out, they're going to do that.
That's even funnier than Neil. Oh, don't throw the ball.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys.
All right, man.
All right, thanks for your phone call.
I can't believe I said that.
I can't believe you said it either.
That's sort of embarrassing.
Especially with Herman and Mesquite coming on now. I do. I mess up my share, just like anybody else.
You've always kind of denied that before.
Okay, I'm coming clean.
The way the Steelers play defense, I don't know if that would work for them or not. Thanks, Pig Boy. Sports Radio 1310 the tickets, what I meant to say. got the hard line in here, and we're going to be here for another 3 hours or so.
This is the home for your Dallas sports superstars. Nate Newton, Coach Joe, Chris Arnold, the Hardliners, KTCK, Dallas-Fort Worth, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Well, we might could have executed that worse, but I don't know how. What was that, Cat? That's the top of the hour now?
R.O. is my favorite of all time.
Yeah.
God rest his soul.
Yeah, R.O.
Without a question. Genuine. Absolutely genuine. I mean, everything he said, he meant, and it just came from the heart, everything. And he was kind of out there like we were, and I miss R.O. every day. Miss R.O. every single day.
Yeah, I miss him too. You know, the thing that made R.O. really unique is that, you know, there was really no reason for the stuff that he said to be funny, but golly, it was.
Yeah.
I mean, every single time he called, it was. You know?
R.O. knew a lot about sports. R.O. paid attention. He knew a lot about sports. I hate to speak in the past tense about R.O.
Hardline.
R.O.
How you doing?
All right. How are you doing?
Hey, man. Well, we did some major league stretching, me and the confessor. We stretching to Lee Michaels. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Lee Michaels.
Super. Enjoyed it. Hey, Hammer, does the moving suck or what?
Yes, it does. But it's done and it's finished, so I'm okay.
I was over at his house yesterday. I'm going to have to tell you about that in a little bit. It was unbelievable.
You know, and it's weird, like you were saying yesterday, you find stuff you didn't know you had.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've found stuff that I've been looking for years, and found stuff that I really wish I'd have never had in my possession.
Yeah,
you kind of have. You kind of did, didn't you?
Oh, man. I did the same thing here. Over the weekend, I had the boxes I was moving, and they've been packed for years, see?
Yeah.
So I opened one up because I forgot what was in there. And, man, I found a gas pipe t-shirt. You know, one of them yellow ones with the green letters on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the weirdest thing I found in there years ago, remember those U.S. kids tennis shoes?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those tall ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I call them out. I took them out and I brought them in the house. They're my Coltville Cruisers.
Very good, R.O., very good.
And is it just me, or does Dan Deerdorf look like the Red Dog?
He kind of does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah.
You know, he's had that facelift that really didn't work out for him.
Oh, I tell you what.
He's kind of reversed on it.
That guy that did it must have really been doing some jamming the night before, you know?
must have.
Yeah, but anyway, let me ask a sports question, if I could.
Go ahead.
How come the Cowboys don't use a shotgun?
Well, mainly because Troy's not comfortable.
Yeah, Troy doesn't like that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
He just never has been comfortable with it. That, people used to talk about that a lot a couple of years ago, right, when they started getting good, and he said then that he's just never been comfortable with it, and so they just never have put it in.
Well, I guess that's okay, but we're back to normal now, right? Everything's normal.
Everything's
normal and everything.
Yep. Everything's normal.
Everything's in the middle.
That's yes. Right. So all we need to do is keep jamming.
Hey, man, okay. You guys stay hard. You keep jamming, and I'll see ya.
And then there's Paul the Damn Viking.
Yeah, Paul the Damn Viking's a really genuine, hardcore fan to me. He embodies what being a real fan's all about.
And when he calls our show, most of the time we have to defend him. Everyone accuses us of him being a character of the show. He's really not.
Now, I'm not sure if we could come up with shtick like that.
You think that the worst day of his life was when the Vikings lost at home to the Bears in the playoffs last year?
No. The worst day of his life was the day he lost his title as Paul the Damn Viking.
Viking Word Association Day! All right! Well, I was just giddy over this.
Well, all right, let me throw a few at you first, okay?
All right.
Jerry Reichel.
Fumble, 1 yard line.
Jerry Reichel.
Who?
Jerry Reichel.
You better know who that is.
Sorry, Reiner, you stumped me.
How can you call yourself a Viking fan if you don't know who Jerry Rieckow is?
Hey, he was an offensive lineman, right?
No. You know, I think we've exposed him as a fraud, Grego.
I think we just did.
I think we have. I think
give
your
me
cover
one.
Is. No. We're not getting off of this. I think your cover is blown, pal.
Pal? Now you're putting me in spare company.
Well, I'm not sure that you don't belong there after that. You mean you don't know who Jerry Rieckow is?
I must have been asleep during that game.
Must have been asleep. Oh, Paul. Listen,
we did the number thing. You couldn't stump me then. You stumped me this time. One time.
The first great Viking, and you don't know who he is?
Reiner, I was born at the same time Hammer was. We're pups.
You know who he is, Grego?
No, I don't. But I'm not a Viking fan.
You
gave me the name.
Youth does not absolve you from knowledge of history.
Listen, Ed Marinaro, number 49, Stu Voigt, 83, Gene Washington, 88, Gary Quazzo, number 15, your own Colt, Bobby Lee, number 19, look at...
Now, what Ed Marinaro, was he number 49?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, very good.
What?
Okay,
now, what does all that have to do with Jerry Rieckow?
Jerry Rieckow was before my time.
That does not absolve you from not knowing.
1970.
I'm sorry. That does not absolve you. You should be able to go back to the 1960 expansion Vikings and name their entire starting lineup on both sides of the ball.
Okay. Listen.
If you are a true Viking fan, which obviously you're not.
You cannot stump me from 1970. I know who started the very first Viking game. It was George Shaw.
You know what your name is?
Huh?
Your name is Paul. That's your whole name now. That's your whole name. We can't call you Paul the damn Viking anymore. Right, can we, Ryan?
No, we can't. We can't.
He's Paul. Paul.
Okay.
Your identity has been taken away.
There you go.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul.
Word association.
No, we busted him. We have busted you.
Let me give you a word association, Ryan.
You're in the same category. All right, go ahead.
Paul the damn Viking.
Walter Waters.
Total fraud.
Oh, you're saying I'm a one-shot deal.
No, we're saying you're a fraud.
I'm a fraud?
Should we let him do the cheer?
Is a fraud.
No, we can't let him do the cheer.
All right, no more cheer for you.
No more cheer.
I'm so bitter now. You know, I was giddy before this phone conversation.
You need to be bitter.
You've been exposed.
That's right, Paul.
Exposed as a fraud?
Yes.
You are not what Association Day was my doom.
You are not what you say you are.
You're kind of like the Edmund Fitzgerald. You're sunk.
Jim White getting his helmet knocked off. Listen, Fred McNeil blocking a Ray Guy punt right before Brett McClanahan's fumble.
Listen to this.
You go back in your Viking history books, and the next time you come on here, you be able to tell me who Jerry Rieckow was. Then and only then will your standing be restored. You got that?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll see you later.
For some reason, I don't know why, Ryan and I got more faxes than anybody. And we were getting, 15, 20 every day, which is a lot when you first start out. And so I said, Ron, just start reading these on the air. He said, okay.
So yeah, there we were at the end of the first few shows that we did.
Well, just a stack.
Yeah, we'd have a stack of faxes, which,
some of them were good.
Say, well, great, what are we supposed to do with these? Are we supposed to read them, or how are we supposed to acknowledge these? And so Grego came up with the idea of reading them on the air, and then that eventually evolved into devoting an entire section.
10 minutes.
An entire segment of the show. He came up with the name Fax Fodder, and the production guy we had here at the station at that time, the only good thing he ever did for us was come up with the music to Fax Fodder.
Fax Fodder.
Yes! We temporarily suspend any and all telephone operations and turn our attention now to misses and communiques received via the miracle of the facsimile machine, brought to you by Dr. David Alkeck, the king of all hair transplant. Check him out at 691-6999. I guess it'd be me this week.
I believe it would be you, my friend.
All right, to the Lopes and Russell of the ticket.
And that would be us.
This from Getty and Lee, as a service to my fellow hardliners who may be at a loss when confronted with the task of entertaining a concubinal prospect. Allow me to present the ultimate hardline date.
We have a little date here.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
6 p.m. Tell concubinal prospect that you'll arrive at her chamber at 7 p.m. Decorate yourself in the appropriate regalia, including silk boxer shorts, ticket golf shirt, bolo tie, heavily starched jeans, and Teva sandals.
I've never worn a bolo tie.
7:13, 10 p.m. Arrive exactly 13 minutes and 10 seconds late and proceed to Prospect's abode with a case of Pomac and two freshly cooked orders of Joe Willie's onion rings. Upon entering the chamber, produce compact disc of The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald and tell her that you've got a little mood music. Proceed to grill her with questions, forcing her to support her position on Pete Rose's Hall of Fame status while telling her that your driver, Juan Pizarro, is ready to leave whenever she is. Introduce her to your bodyguard, who she can just call Herman, and tell her that her Bohiney is looking very nice.
I love Bohineys.
8 p.m. After telling her that she needs an ADT security system, proceed to North Main Barbecue, plop down a 20, and tell her that if the rest of the night doesn't go well, she owes you just $10. Indulge in said barbecue, pointing out that the two guys seated at the next table are Chris Cobain and his date. 9 p.m. Proceed to showing of little-known movie starring Abe Vigoda and Ruth Buzzi and complain incessantly about how much Pulp Fiction sucked.
It did suck.
11:30 p.m. Proceed to your chamber and inform her that you'd like to mix in a little nudity, but only after watching the rerun of SportsCenter. At some point during the goings-on, utter the words, "Come here, so I can put that up to my face and lick it." Oh, boy. At the end of the bedroom Olympics, if she asks, "Are you finished?" simply respond with, "Yeah, I kind of am." 1:15 a.m., fall asleep immediately. 7 a.m., turn on the bottle rockets, thank her for letting you invade her personal space, and tell her that Robert the taxi driver will arrive in about 10 minutes.
And then get out.
Best facts ever right there.
Geddy and Lee. All right, here we go. From Delanor Hinkle, top five reasons you might know if you're a hardliner.
All right.
You might be a hardliner if the U.S. soccer team scores more often than you do.
Yeah.
The dancers at Lace know you by your name.
Mm-hmm.
Your bass boat or your stereo system costs more than your house. Your vocabulary includes pal, duly noted, or edification.
All right.
You might be a hardliner if you would shoot Barney on sight.
That's the truth.
And finally, you answer the telephone, "Yes, this would be me."
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
That's it.
Perfect.
All right, to Rhines and the Hammer.
And that would be us.
Today we will dispense among our comments some of the better-known hammerisms which we have learned in the recent past. While driving on LSD this morning to work, it occurred to me that LBJ is the epitome of all traffic nightmares. As I tried to change lanes, I spilled a little coffee, since it was only harmonically sealed. Being a little hungry, I thought about Dr. Matt's etouffee and realized that after all these years, what I thought was crab meat was in fact noodles.
I thought it was noodles.
On Sunday at the Cowboy game with Rhines, I had only one beer because I now know that three beers equals a gram. Wanted to read a book when I got home but couldn't find my copy of War of the Words. Surely couldn't practice my putting because I couldn't find my paying putter. Anyway, Hammer, if we couldn't have fun, why would we do it? Great show, John C. Caffey.
Thanks a lot, John C. To the hardliners.
And that'd be us.
These are the things around Christmas time that sound real dirty, but they're really not.
All right.
I thought I overheard Dad tell Mom he was getting blue balls for Christmas.
Ugh.
Don't want to get those. Do you want to lick my candy cane?
That sounds it.
Does it cost extra if I want to get flocked?
That's nice.
Honey, I think you're trying to put too many balls between those limbs. And that comes to us from Ken in Barbie.
To Mike and Grego.
That would be us.
This from Melissa in Valley Ranch. I just keep stumbling across these. Top 10 things that sound dirty at the office but aren't. Number 10, I need you to whip it out by 5. Number 9, if I have to lick one more, I'll gag. Number 6, I want it on my desk now. Number 2, when do you think you'll be getting off today? Number 1, it's not fair. I do all the work while he just sits back.
What's wrong with that? Never thought of that. To the Holy Harry Hardliners.
I guess that'd be us.
Of course it would. The top 6 names not listed in the NASCAR Racing Bible. What this is, these are potential names for NASCARs.
All right.
Okay. Exxon running on empty 200. The Craftsman left-handed screwdriver 500 and a half. The I wish I had my IQ that high 100. The can't fold a state map 300.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite. The white trash in a hot rod 450.
That's it, boy.
The turn up the radio I can't hear Hank Jr. 400. The late on my child support, $250.
Yes, that's a good one.
And the number one name not listed in the NASCAR Racing Bible, the Elvis Memorial Hunka Hunka Burning Love, $500.
All right, very good.
Didn't make it.
To the Hardline, the new NASCAR expert.
That would be us.
This is from Dr. Matt. Scatter shooting during the rain delay of the I Hope Someone Does a Brake Check in Front of Dale Earnhardt 500. The following were 10 things compiled by the subculture that sound dirty when heard in a dental office, but really aren't.
So these are things you might hear when you go to have a dental checkup.
Mm-hmm.
They sound dirty, but they really aren't.
Number one, open wide. Number two, open wider. Number three, suction please. Number four, you're going to feel a little prick in there. Number
five,
yeah, don't bite down. Number six, grind side to side.
I've had that before.
Number seven, now I'm going to insert this gooey stuff. Oh, boy. Number eight, this starts out soft and gets rock hard.
Right there with you, brother.
Number nine, I'll try not to gag you.
That's not me.
And, of course, number 10, go ahead and swallow. Stay hard, Dr. Matt. That's nice.
That's very good. Got to add a little bad karma. We have to have a little bad karma.
All right, go ahead. We're not above that.
To the Hardliners.
That'd be us.
Here's the opening day lineup for my baseball team. Leading off playing center field is Rodney King. Lots of hits and good speed.
Oh.
Hitting second, playing second base would be Stevie Ray Vaughan. He can handle the tough choppers.
Oh, man.
Hitting third, playing first base would be John Kruk, a great hitter with a one-ball count.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Batting cleanup, the catcher, Rock Hudson, can take it deep and loves to go the other way.
Oh, boy.
Batting fifth, the DH, David Koresh, lots of firepower, very hot at the end of the season. Hitting sixth would be your left fielder, Lee Harvey Oswald, rifle for an arm, a single hitter.
All right.
Hitting seventh, the shortstop, Jeffrey Dahmer. He's a great cutoff man.
Oh.
Hitting eighth, your third baseman, River Phoenix, inspirational leader, known to be a great lift in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, your ninth hitter, Tonya Harding, good in hit-and-run situations. Now, your starting pitcher will be Charles Manson. He carves up opposing batters. Your closer will be Adolf Hitler. He can really bring the gas.
No.
That's bad karma.
That is, boy.
And on the bench, you got Pee Wee Herman. He'll play anywhere. Lorena Bobbitt in the bullpen, cut fastball, sharp slider, breaks bats. Vic Mora, he's a reserve infielder, has trouble with choppers and loses his head at times.
That's nice.
You've also got a catcher, a pretty good catcher, but not a very good hitter. That'd be Mama Cass. She chokes in the clutch.
Oh.
And your first base coach will be John Wayne Gacy. He will help lead any team out of the cellar.
Oh, boy. That is bad karma there.
Wrap us up.
To the great men of hardness.
That would be us.
Top reasons to become a ticket chick. This is from Lisa Hughes, a self-proclaimed ticket chick. Number 10, listening improves your sports knowledge, and Grego even claims it can improve your sex life.
Can.
Sports knowledge is a great gateway to meeting men. Instant respect. The Hardliners are so cool. They give great hugs. We get to check out all those great buns and those tight-fitting pants during breaks. Wearing ball caps are cool. You learn what men have known all along. If you're having a bad hair day or just don't feel like fooling with your hair, on with the hat. Finally, there's nothing better than to see the look from a man's face when, during a conversation, it becomes clear that you know more about sports than he does.
Right there with you, brother.
That's Max Potter. Brought to you by Dr. David.
But I also like Sand Bass Dan, because he's the guy that takes heat off me. Because I'm pretty politically incorrect myself, but I mean, that guy takes a cake.
Sam Bass Dan's worse than you?
Yeah, he's a lot worse than I am.
Queer. I think you're a politically incorrect hillbilly is what you are.
No, I know what's right, and I stand by what's right, and I'm pure-blood American.
You just crawled out from under the weeds.
Not
David.
Going over there talking to a bunch of...
You rode in here to Hooters on the back of a turnip truck, didn't you?
Maybe. Hey, you go over there and that. I don't understand why you want to go talk to a bunch of kamikazes over there in
that was
Queerville in San Francisco.
That was the Japanese, not the Chinese.
Nah, they're all the same.
No, they're not the same.
Yeah, they're the same.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, there's a little movement going on. First of all, do you like the Hooters girls?
I love the Hooters girls.
Don't they look pretty?
They're pretty. If they were my cousin, I'd marry them.
Yeah, don't you like coming in here and ordering a beer and some wings and looking at these nice Hooter girls walking around?
I love it.
But you know what's going to happen?
What?
There's a movement right now to where they're going to have guys dressed up as Hooters girls.
What?
That's right. There's going to be they want to have guy waiters now.
Boy, I bet your wolf will get a big Woody on that.
That would do nothing for me, but we got a guy on the line who wants
He wants to talk to you.
Okay.
He doesn't want his name used, but let's go to him. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you're on with Sandbass Dan.
Yeah, you know what? You know what they say usually is that all we talk about homosexuals, gay guys, you know, they're latent homosexuals themselves because they're not secure with their own sexuality.
Whoa, watch it there. What are you, un-American? You a Chinaman or a queer?
Well, actually, I was born in Dallas, Texas, and I am gay, and I am proud of it.
Oh, my goodness. We got one of you on the line. My.
But you know what?
Why don't you move to San Francisco?
You're always on the gay guys, but yet, what does that say about your sexuality? You're not secure with yourself, are you?
I'm
having to put down everybody.
I'm secure as anybody in their sexuality. If you don't believe me, you can ask my wife or my cousin. They're both the same person.
You know, we could get together and have a little party.
Hey, you watch it there. Don't you guys have control over your lines, or I'm sure Wolf's enjoying talking to that queer there.
Well, you know what?
Rump Ranger. Butt lover.
I've enjoyed watching you talk to him because it's making you very uncomfortable,
isn't
it? You're
sweating over there.
I am kind of sweating. Sweating for two reasons. I'm on the line with a queer and got old gay Wolf sitting next to me. I feel like I got to put on one of them hardline condoms. Don't want him to get near my privates.
You need to take some lessons from those guys and stay hard. When you do that, you come look me up.
Oh, God.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Queer.
Very nice indeed.
Damn queers.
Oh, and the weirdest things that happened is when we were at Hard Rock one night and that drunk Irish guy showed up.
Yeah, Seamus.
Yeah,
Seamus.
Who can forget Seamus?
Now we got to tell the story. All right, last night, after the softball game, we're at the Hard Rock. Grego and me and Gordon and Thomas Monahan, the pizza impresario, who will answer all FCC questions in 30 minutes or you get them free.
And Dr. Matt,
we're all over
the Mount Rushmore of personalities, as I've said before.
So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, this guy wanders up. And he's standing there, and he's obviously, you know, pretty high. He is smoking a cigarette.
He ain't high. He is drunker than Cooter Brown.
He was.
He's smoking a cigarette, and his teeth are all messed up. I mean,
He did have the worst teeth.
Dr. Matt's looking at him, and you can see dollar signs on his eyes. And he says something about the Cowboys. And we thought, you know, maybe he had like this Irish accent.
The thickest. I mean, they just pulled this guy right out of Dublin.
And we thought maybe he wanted to know what the score of the Cowboy game was. We tell him 34-10 and hope he goes off on his way. Well, he didn't go off on his way.
He plopped his ass right in the chair.
Right in the chair. He sits down with us, and he's smoking this cigarette. And I say, okay, pal, if you're going to sit here, I don't know who you are or what you're doing, but if you're going to sit here, you got to lose a cigarette,
first
of all.
Oh, but me friend, it's part of the whole package. Cigarette and me.
Yeah, he starts mumbling this gobbledygook about it's part of the whole package. And what happened after that, Gordon? You pick it up.
I thought I was going to have to dope on him.
Well, see, the thing is, I was thinking he must have been a fan of the show somehow, or he must have recognized, because we were all wearing our ticket shirts, so we were coming back from the softball game.
Claimed he'd been in the United States one day.
One day. He'd only been here for one day, and he didn't even know us from Adam.
No.
He comes up and sits down and just, I guess, wanted a little companionship. And, you know, I didn't see where he came from. I just noticed a big cloud of smoke, and then he kind of appeared, Seamus, the magical leprechaun, out of nowhere.
Yeah, his name was Seamus.
Yeah, his name was Seamus, and he couldn't find his pot of gold. I'm not sure what he was doing there.
He was looking for our leprechaun, Ganji.
I know, yeah.
Take it to Ganji, your Italian leprechaun at your service.
So... And he sits down and talks, and I knew it was going to be fun because, first of all, those people are annoying enough when average people come in contact with them during life. But when you two guys who are so impatient with people and any odd, quirky person you just can't stand, and, of course, Grego's launching into diatribes full of explicatives and everything like this, so we're trying to get rid of the guy, trying to offend him
in
some way.
Well, finally we had to link.
Grego's trying to link him up in a concubinal way with
Grego was
with anybody, anything.
Set him up with waitresses and all that
you
kind
know?
Of stuff. Employing him to kiss some girl's Blarney Stone or whatever you were saying. And then Reiner starts attacking the IRA just to try to get on his bad side. And he was anti-IRA, too.
Yeah. So then we started saying we love the IRA.
Right. And and started, you know, asking if he was here to meet Senator Edward Kennedy, I think, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And started asking if the Hard Rock people wouldn't serve him potatoes and that sort of thing. But anyway, so Seamus, the mystical leprechaun.
And that was his name, Seamus.
Yes. Seamus. And
then, can we hear the song again?
Huh?
Can you Seamus. Do the song again?
Oh, you want me to do the song
again? Yeah, let's roll the song
again. We can do that again?
Yeah, the song was good.
Seamus.
Yeah, I know. And Greg,
stupid.
Seamus, and I want to waste your time. I like to drink lots of beer and talk to the hard line. Let me blow some smoke in your face. Do you wish that you were home? But I'm too drunk to care what you think, so kiss my Blarney Stone. Hi, Grego. Hi, Michael. Just like to give you a big hello from Potato Famine Land. Thanks for the bar of Irish Spring. And, Grego, you were right. I did play with my shillelagh all night last night. I'd just like to say thank you and hope to see you again when I'm back in your over-serving country. My head is full of rubbish and my teeth are full of rot. One of these days, my liver will collapse. And I'll die just like Bon Scott.
You know, when he opened up his mouth, he looks like he had a whole mouthful of, like, rusted bolts.
I know. He looked like the lead singer of the Pogues or something like that.
I wasn't there, but I've heard it enough from Grego to be able to tell it. Grego's told me several stories about himself. And this is one of my favorites. This and the time he was up in Canada. That was a real good one. The time we were out at Valley Ranch and he needed some tea. That was a real good one.
The one, you know the one. Yeah,
you know the one. That was, for the longest time, I could just drive along and be thinking of that and start laughing. But this is one of those two. This is one of those two. Here's Grego at a wedding that is the friend of your girlfriend then, right?
No, it was Val's friend, yeah. Highfalutin,
yeah.
Fort Worth Club, Petroleum
Socialite.
Club. Yes, friend.
You know, just real hoity-toity, right?
Yeah, very hoity-toity.
Okay. So here is Grego at this thing, and this is a scene, obviously, that he is not digging at all. Doesn't want to be at, right?
No, don't want to be there. Ranger game going on.
Yeah.
You're at the Ranger game.
Yeah. What were you wearing? Did you have to get a tux on for this?
No, but it was serious suit.
Serious suit.
Serious suit.
Tie and everything.
Oh, yes, tie.
Okay. So you're there with her, and her parental units are there, and
right.
This is just like a big gathering of all of her people, right?
Yeah. And she
right.
can tell that I don't want to be there is because that everybody knew that what kind of business I was in, so they wanted to strike up sports conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember the little sports pager that I had,
yeah.
The little ticker?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had my little ticker with me.
Which so she didn't dig.
No, when she saw me pull that out, you know, I might as well expose myself right there. And I was checking scores. And if I'd had a phone, I'd have called you to find out what was going on in the game.
And one thing you have to understand about this is one of the worst situations that you can ever possibly be in is to be around Grego in a place when he's in a place where he doesn't want to be. You know, when he's stuck in traffic or something like that, or just in any kind of situation that he's not into, if you're there with him, man, you got a problem on your hands. So here, I'm just glad I wasn't there to see this.
But I've told you the story 100 times.
Yeah, but I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. Here he is at this deal, and you're drinking pretty heavily, right?
Well, I knew I had to. I knew I had to, or I wouldn't be able to stand it. So I just start hammering beers down, just getting them down.
What kind are you drinking?
Miller Lite.
Of course,
no
Miller Lite. So here he is hammering Miller Lights at probably a breakneck pace, and you're getting pretty out there,
I'm
right?
I'm getting pretty out there.
You're getting that point where you just didn't care much about nothing,
yeah,
right?
And this wasn't one of those weddings to where that you you know have a little finger food. This is a sit down wedding.
Yeah, it's like a rehearsal dinner
you
or something.
Bet. Oh, boy. I mean, where you come and they serve you a sit-down meal.
So you're getting sloshed. You're checking sports scores.
No, I've already quit checking sports scores. Val done jumped down my throat 2 or 3 times.
For that?
Yeah.
So his pager's out.
Yeah.
There's a baseball game going on. Probably every half minute or so, that thought flashes through his head.
Yeah.
He's wearing a tie. He doesn't want to be there. You get the picture.
So what happened?
Okay. It comes time to sit down for dinner, right?
Yeah.
All right, he's sitting there, and Val's dad, who you got along pretty well with, right?
Yeah, oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's sitting there, too, and he's kind of right there with you on this.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So they're sitting there, and the guy comes around, the waiter comes around, and this is one of those guys that wears the white
coat.
Yeah, the
had
white coat.
Had the little white linen tablecloth or whatever over his hand.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, or napkin, whatever. It looked like a tablecloth. It's long.
You can't get much more fancy than that.
Oh, it's at the petroleum club in Fort Worth.
So he comes around to Grego, and he asks him what he would like. You tell him you want the prime rib.
Yeah, want the prime rib.
And he asks him how he wants it cooked. And here's Grego, having been drinking all this Miller Lite. I could just picture it. You kind of leaning back, looking up on him, and say, just knock the horns off of it and wipe its ass and send it out.
To which I look over there at all the guys, and Val's dad is absolutely rolling. I look at Val's mother and Val's sister and Val, and they could have shot me. They didn't even chuckle.
So this is when within earshot of everyone.
Everybody in the room, and it was a ballroom.
Oh, boy.
So what was the line again?
Knock the horns off, wipe its ass, and send her out.
To continue listening, turn the tape over now.